Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Dr. Bud Bierman, director of the BJU Alumni Association. The title of his message is The Cure for Fainting Spells. The text is from Luke 18, verse 1. Our chapel speaker today is Dr. Bud Bierman. He is director of our Alumni Association, and a good portion of his time is spent out away from the university, holding meetings with alumni in various churches and making contacts with our alumni to keep them abreast of what's happening here at the university and also encouraging them as they serve the Lord. And we're grateful that he's able to be on campus during this time to be our speaker today.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. Perhaps some of you are aware that there is a thief amongst us. He's hit some of the dormitory rooms. He's hit some of the homes. He's hit some of you personally. His name is prayerlessness. Prayerlessness robs individuals and homes and families and churches and schools and nations of their strength. The Lord Jesus in Luke 18 and verse 1 spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, we think of fainting today as blacking out and passing out. But the idea of the word here is the sense of growing weary, especially in the sense of growing weary in your soul, growing weary within your inner man, giving up, we might say, or losing courage. And the Lord Jesus spake the parable that we go on to read in the following verses, and it was to this end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is the cure for fainting spells. The cure for fainting spells is prayer. James 5:16 speaks about the fact that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's so much in the Word of God talking about the power and the effectiveness of prayer, and yet prayerlessness is something that seems to attack all of us. Individually, as a body of believers, and yet here we're told that by James, the Lord's brother, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And yet, how often we don't avail ourselves of that which availeth much. What are some of the reasons for prayerlessness? Why don't we pray when there's such a promise and such encouragement to that? Well, there are a variety of reasons. God wants us to pray. There are a few occasions when God told people not to pray. In Joshua, when Achan had stolen the forbidden thing during the battle at Jericho, and as a result, a lack of victory followed in a little battle that should have been won easily, and yet Israel was humiliated, and Joshua goes out and falls on his face before the Lord and begins to pray, and God says, "Get up off your face. This isn't the time to pray. There's sin in the camp. You need to deal with the sin." Joshua was told that there was no need of prayer at that time. Some interesting verses of Scripture in Jeremiah and chapter 7, verse 16. "Therefore, pray not for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them." Again, in chapter 11 of that book and verse 14, God says, "Therefore, pray not, thou, for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them." And again in chapter 14 and verse 11, "Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good." But these are rare occasions when God tells us not to pray. The call of the Word of God is for us to spend time in prayer. Now, why don't we do that? Well, Herbert Lockyer has found at least 12 reasons. Let me just give you a few of the more common reasons we find in the Word of God why people don't pray. First of all, a sinful life and unscriptural relationships can keep us from prayer. In Isaiah 59 and verse 2, God spoke through Isaiah saying that God's ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, or His hand arm shortened that He cannot save, but your iniquity, your sin has separated from you and your God. Over in 1 Peter chapter 3, as Peter is talking about the relationship of husbands and wives and the proper relationship of the wife to her husband and the proper relation and attitude of the husband to the wife, he concludes that section in the latter part of verse 7 by saying that these things need to be so in our relationship that your prayers be not hindered. And so a sinful life and unscriptural relationships can be a reason for us not really praying and praying effectively. Satanic defeat is another reason or cause for prayerlessness. No immediate answer. And so the devil says, oh, God doesn't hear your prayer. God's not interested in your prayer. In fact, that's the idea of the parable in Luke 18. When the Lord spoke about the fact that men ought always to pray and not to faint, He's talking more in the sense of not continuously 24 hours a day, doing nothing else but praying, although we can certainly be in a sense of prayer during all of our waking hours. But here the idea of always is more in the sense of persistence, and the parable goes on to deal with that aspect. Persistent in prayer, even though it seems like there's no answer. The parable, the judge didn't give an immediate answer to the woman who was petitioning him. And so sometimes it may seem that God is not giving us an immediate answer. And so the devil says, oh, no need to pray. God doesn't hear your prayer. God isn't a prayer answering God. I read a sad testimony in the newspaper a few weeks ago of a young man that I remember when he was a student here at the university. He was selected for Christian leadership as a graduate of what was then the Institute of Christian Service. He went out to be a Baptist evangelist, and by his own testimony there in the paper, he lives here locally, by his own testimony, at about age 40, he read a particular book that caused him to apostatize, that caused him to completely throw off everything that he had claimed. And in the course of his remarks in that newspaper article, as he was talking about now being a universalist and a Unitarian, he said, I've never had a prayer answered that I ever prayed. Well, that fellow was either an absolute hypocrite when he was here in school, or else he's forgotten how gracious God was to him in those days when he was lifting his heart in prayer. But oh, because of the delay in prayer, the devil may come and say, oh, God's not listening. No cause to pray. Jeremiah, over in the 42nd chapter, prayed to God with regard to a particular request. And verse 7 says that 10 days later, Jeremiah was praying for an immediate answer. 10 days later, God answered. Sometimes God delays. And the devil seeks to take that opportunity to try to cause us to become prayerless in our lives. George Mueller, many of you perhaps recognize that name as being a name associated with powerful prayer. Mueller was the man who had orphanages in England, and accounts told of how he would set the table for breakfast in the morning for those orphans, and there wouldn't be a scrap of food in the cupboard. And he'd begin to pray and say, God will provide. And before sometimes the prayer of thanksgiving was even finished there around the table, a knock would come at the door. And here would be a man who said, the wheel came off my cart and I have all of this milk that I can't deliver. Could you use milk? Or a man who was a baker would knock on the door and say, I have all of this bread that can't be delivered. Could you use some bread? Mueller is a man that is recognized as a real prayer warrior and got his prayers answered. But George Mueller prayed for 52 years for the salvation of the son of one of his friends and went to his grave not having seen that young man saved. But a year or two later, that man came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. We don't know why God sometimes delays the answer. You listen to some of these preachers and they give you the idea that that you pray and immediately what you've prayed for is going to happen. Well, sometimes that's so, but sometimes it isn't. God sees fit to delay his answer. And that's when the devil seeks to say, forget it. No need to pray. God doesn't hear. So satanic defeat can be a cause for prayerlessness. Spiritual indifference. Just indifferent to spiritual things. No zeal, real zeal for the Lord. No thought of prayer during the daily life. Mr. Lovegrove touched upon that idea yesterday in his message. Self-sufficiency. No need to pray. I can handle it. Again, he touched upon that aspect as he was speaking about fruitfulness in the Lord. A self-sufficiency. I don't need to pray. I can handle my problems. I can face whatever comes along. Well, you know, there's more to prayer than just asking for something that you want or praying when you're in a time of difficulty or need. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul speaks about four different areas of prayer. First of all, he says, I would that supplications be made. That's what we usually think of when we think of prayer, asking God for things. But then he says also prayers. And that's the idea of just conversing with God, just talking with God. Sometimes we, as we were growing up, we had to ask our parents for things. But other times we just talked with them. We weren't asking for anything. We were just conversing with them. That's the idea of prayers, just talking with God, communicating with our Heavenly Father, with our elder brother, the Lord Jesus. And thirdly, he says that intercessions be made, praying on behalf of others, needs that they may have, or both spiritual or material or physical, interceding on behalf of others. And then the fourth aspect, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. I don't know if you still do this occasionally in your prayer meetings in the dormitory, but when I was a dormitory student, every so often when we'd gather for our room prayer meeting, the prayer captain or whoever was in charge of the devotions that night would say, now tonight, unless there's a real pressing need that we need to pray about and pray for, let's just spend this time this evening thanking the Lord. And you never heard such stuttering and silence in your life as people found it rather hard to pray a prayer that was totally given over to simply thanking God. But that's one very vital aspect of prayer, thanksgiving. And so, though we may say, oh, I can handle it, say, there are other things that we need to be coming to the Lord in prayer about and for, and just to communicate with Him. And then another reason for prayer is a slothful spirit. We find after a while that prayer isn't just an easy thing. It can be difficult. It can be work. But at the same time, prayer is just being intimate with God. Prayer is just talking with God. Like you would talk with a friend. Like you would talk with a parent. Like you would talk with a relative. Now, certainly there should be a certain attitude of reverence as we talk with God. Not talking to Him like some friend in the dormitory particularly, in the manner in which we talk with Him, but there needs to be that sense of reverence for God. But at the same time, it's an intimate conversation with the Lord. And yet sometimes people hear about prayer being hard work, or when they have been praying about particular things, they found that it can be a very draining or a very taxing experience. And so sometimes just a slothful spirit, a lazy spirit, can keep us from prayer. These are some of the reasons I find that prayerlessness can creep into our life. But oh, the awful results of prayerlessness. And that's where that thief aspect comes in, as he robs us of some very vital, important, and wonderful things for our life. First of all, prayerlessness can result in a loss of luster. Not spending time with the Lord can result in the luster being lost in our Christian life. In the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verses 29 and 30, we're told about Moses as he was up on the mountain for 40 days communicating with God. And when he came down from the mountain, he wasn't aware of it, but his face was absolutely glowing. And the people couldn't look upon his face because it was shining, and he had to put a veil over his face because of the luster that was there. You know, I found in my Christian life, so many people that I've come across, young people, adults, it's obvious they're spending time with the Lord. They're in the Lord's presence. There's a luster about their life rather than a dullness. There's a glow to their life and a warmth that you can sense that lets you know they've been spending time with the Lord. Prayerlessness can rob us of our luster. Prayerlessness can result in a loss of joy. The Lord Jesus in John 16, verse 24 said, "Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Oh, how many joyless Christians there seems to be today. In my ministry, out in revival meetings, evangelistic meetings, and around the country and other parts of the world, and seeing Christians in all various sections of the country and in big churches and little churches, I see so many people. They just don't have any joy in their life. They stand up and sing, or they sing in a choir, and they sing, "There's joy in serving Jesus," and it looks like they're absolutely miserable. And I wonder if there's a vital prayer life there, that they're seeing God answer their prayer, and it's filling their heart with joy to know that God is hearing them and answering them, and they're communicating with Him. And as a result, there's a joy in their life. Prayerlessness can produce a loss of joy, can produce a loss of confidence. When I come across a person who is having trouble with the assurance of their salvation, I first, of course, deal with them with regard to the matter of whether they really ever have repented of their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And after I question them along those lines, if they indicate that, yes, they know there was a definite time in their life that they did that, then my next question is, are you having your personal devotions regularly? And almost without exception, "Well, you know, I've kind of dropped off on that. And, well, I used to regularly, but I just haven't been the last months." And, oh, then the devil moves in. "Oh, you're probably not even saved. You're not reading the Bible. You're not praying." He'll make all sorts of attacks. And so prayerlessness can result in a loss of confidence with regard to our relationship with the Lord. It can result in a loss of spiritual sensitivity, just being sensitive to spiritual things. A lack of communication can do that. Have you ever noticed if there's a person in your life that you haven't been in communication with for a good while, when you come back together, it's a little hard sometimes to at first get that communication line and that sensitivity reestablished. You have to warm up a bit to it again. And so prayerlessness can result in a loss of spiritual sensitivity. It can result in a loss of discernment. Joshua 9 has a very interesting incident. As God had commanded that the people of Israel were to make no covenants with any of the people of the land, and the Gibeonites had heard of the victories that the Israelites had experienced, and they contrived a plan whereby they could get the Israelites to not destroy them as they had done some of the other peoples. And so they put on old clothes, and they put on worn out shoes, and they put moldy bread in their containers. And they came to Joshua and the others, and they told about this long, long journey, that they weren't from the land where Israel was to be settled, but they had come from a long journey, and they wanted to make a treaty with the Israelites. And a very interesting statement is made as the Israelites did that and made a treaty with these people who were really just a short way off from them. It was a people that they should not have made a treaty with, but the result of that Gibeonite treaty came, we're told, because the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel of the Lord. They looked at how things appeared. And why, certainly these people came a long way. Look how worn their shoes are. Look how moldy the food is. Look how old their clothes are. Look how dusty they are. Why, of course, they're not from the immediate area. They looked at the food. They looked at the outward things rather than asking counsel of the Lord. Prayerlessness caused them to disobey the Lord. They did not seek the counsel of the Lord. It can result in a loss of power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. Prayer is the power line of the Christian. Read about a preacher who was on a tour. And in the course of that tour, they stopped at a place where a man was carving a figure out of marble. And the preacher was watching as those chisel strokes were being made, and the form was beginning to take shape. And the preacher was fascinated. And finally, just sort of to himself, he said, "Oh, I wish I could make such successful strokes on the stony hearts of the people to whom I preach." Marble cutter heard him. He looked up and he said, "Sir, maybe you could if you worked like I do on your knees." Power with the Lord. Power in our spiritual lives. We can lose it as a result of prayerlessness. Well, I hope that causes us to resolve or to even revolt against prayerlessness in our life. Maybe some of you have fallen into prayerlessness and some of these results are beginning to show themselves in your life. And if not, certainly this malady and this thief can creep into our life at any time, regardless of whether we're 1 year old in the Lord or 50 years old in the Lord. Prayerlessness is a thief that keeps trying to break into our life. So let's resolve or revolt against prayerlessness in the life. There are such encouragements for us to not be prayerless. There are encouragements from without throughout the Word of God. We find prayer bringing victory in the life. Maybe you're in need of some victory this morning. Well, we'll not take time to look at them, but 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 11, Asa was faced with a daunting foe, the Ethiopians, and he came to God in prayer. And God gave victory over that enemy. Maybe you're in need of protection. We read in Acts chapter 12 how Peter was put into prison. And a prayer meeting was being held at the home of John Mark's mother. And as a result of their prayer, God answered prayer, and Peter was protected and even released from that prison in a supernatural way. Maybe there's a need for a specific need in your life this morning, like Daniel and his friends. Their lives were at stake. If they could not interpret or give and interpret the king's dream. And so we're told that Daniel went home to those friends and they prayed. They asked for mercies from the Lord. They laid that thing before God and God gave them the answer. He answers prayer concerning specific needs in our life. He answers prayer when we're in need of assurance. Gideon needed that. God had given him a task that he was fearful to do. And so he came before the Lord in prayer and asked God to give him the assurance that indeed God would be with him. And God would enable him to do what it was that God was calling him to do. That assurance came as a result of prayer. Maybe it's some personal desire that you have this morning, like Hannah. She was without child, and she was humiliated by it. And finally, with a heavy heart, she comes before God in prayer, 1 Samuel 1, verses 10 and 11. And pours out her heart and asks God to give her a son. And that if God would give her that son, she would give him back to God. And about 9 months later, there was a cry in Hannah's home. And in months to come, the patter of little feet as Samuel was tottering about the house in answer to Hannah's prayer for a personal desire. Now, we need to be careful that we're not just praying a selfish prayer like the college girl that said, "Now, Lord, I'm not asking for myself, but Lord, would you give my mother a son-in-law?" Now, we don't need to pray like that. Not just a. And if we are going to pray for something like that, don't try to be deceptive and just come flat out and say, "Lord, I want a husband, and I'm asking you to give me one." But personal desire. God delights to answer the prayers of His people. And there are so many encouragements from without in the Word of God. There are encouragements to prayer from within. Our own personal experience, as we do like David did on occasions in the Psalms, reflecting back on past answers to prayer. What God did here and what God did there and what God did in this circumstance. And the encouragement that as God has worked in and through and with our life and for our life in the past, He's eager to do that in the present. So the encouragements from without, the encouragements from within, and even encouragements from above. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, probably very familiar to many of you. As Paul says, "Likewise the Spirit," capital S, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Sometimes we just don't even know how to pray. And we're told that the Holy Spirit of God will make intercession on our behalf, that it will be in line with the will of God. So what encouragements we have to pray. Encouragements from without, encouragements from within, encouragements from above. Oh, what a great thief that prayerlessness is in our life. A young pastor out in Texas told that one Sunday morning he was preaching from the text, Matthew 18:19, and he started out his message by quoting that text. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And having read that text very dramatically, he said, do you believe it? And then, just as sort of an oratorical emphasis, do you believe it? And to his shock, a poor housemaid stood up in the midst of the congregation. She said, I believe it. And I want you, Pastor, to believe it with me. And the young preacher said he was absolutely shocked. He was taken back. He wasn't expecting this. And he just stood there in silence. He couldn't say anything for a moment. And before he could utter anything, a blacksmith over on the other side of the aisle stood up and he said, Sister, I'll believe it with you. And that blacksmith and that housemaid got down together and prayed in the middle of the aisle for that woman's unsaved, drunken Rio Grande River captain husband. Preacher said he was absolutely ashamed, but how blessed and amazed he was as he came to the service that night. And who do you think was there? That Rio Grande cursing river captain. And he said when the invitation was given, who do you think was the first person down the aisle to receive Jesus Christ? That old rough Rio Grande riverboat captain. Say, God delights to answer prayer. Let's don't let prayerlessness rob our lives. Let's pray. Father, how we thank Thee for Thy encouragement, for Thy direction, for Thy instruction from the Word, for the call that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Lord, help us when we feel those fainting spells coming on to use Your cure. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Bud Bierman, director of the BJU Alumni Association. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.